25th, we're working through Romans chapter 3, and we're in part 3, which is verse 21 through 26. So the title of this time is The Role of Faith. We've been talking about the idea of who is righteous and how does righteousness come to you and I. And now we're going to touch on the role of faith. So let's read verse 21 through 26 out of Romans 3. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God, His perfect nature, has been demonstrated, shown, manifested. We can see it. We can understand it. Independent of the law. Okay, we got the law over here. Now on the other side, we have the righteousness of God. And that's what we're going to talk about. How do they relate one to the other? And how in the world can I be perfect and fulfill 10 rules and regulations perfectly my whole life? That's impossible. It is, and God knows it. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, there's nobody that escapes this. Black, white, red, yellow, whoever, Jew, Gentile, whatever, there is no one who escapes this. And so verse 23 is well known to many of you, but wait till you read 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, in verse 24, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption being bought back that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation or a payment or a compensation by His blood. So we got some big words in this, and we're going to try to clarify a little bit of what they mean as we go through this. By His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance, His patience, His tolerance, in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. He waited. You know, these people, there's sins out there, generation after generation. Century after century, God waits a long time sometimes. His forbearance is beyond understanding. He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time. He picked the right time. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. He's both just and the justifier. Not only does He do the right thing, but He accomplishes it. He's the justifier as well. So let's kind of tease this apart here if we've got another few minutes in this segment to see if we can understand some of this. Now there's a new way to understand righteousness. By the law, it must be earned by perfect obedience, which is impossible. By grace, it's a free gift. The word grace comes from the Greek charis, and from charis, we get charity. Charity is a gift. Doesn't expect a repayment. In fact, it can't be bought because you don't put a price on it. By grace, it's a free gift which costs nothing other than faith that receives it. The sacrifice of Christ satisfies the demands of the law. Therefore, there is a pathway to righteousness other than perfect compliance with a law which is impossible to perfectly obey. Let me read that again. Therefore, there is a pathway to righteousness other than perfect compliance with a law impossible to perfectly obey. This pathway costs us nothing but costs Christ His whole life. Grace via a substitute, Jesus Christ, fulfills both the requirement of the law and the penalty for disobedience. The believer is declared not guilty. Did you do it? Did you commit a sin? Yeah, I did. But you're not guilty of it any longer. There's no penalty required of you because the penalty has been paid by Christ on the cross. So redemption means being bought back from sin, from the slavery of sin and guilt. The slave on the auction block is purchased and set free by the generosity of the one that purchased him. He made the payment, that's the propitiation. He made the payment on our behalf. We are justified or reconciled, brought back to God, if you will, as a free gift, and in the process, our faith is counted as righteousness, just like Abraham. God sees us through the filter of the blood sacrifice of his Son, so his justice is satisfied because he loves us, and he is the justifier, the means to accomplish it as well. So what do you have to do to accomplish it? Nothing other than believe. The big question is, now, what should I do in response to this amazing, undeserved gift? The answer is, believe him, receive him, and then because of that new nature that he puts inside of you, his own Holy Spirit, serve him. Make him Lord of your life. It's not enough to say, I believe that you died for me on the cross, came back to life again. I'm trusting you for my salvation. And those of us from a Baptist background might say, okay, now you have your fire escape. But that's not the whole thing. That's only the beginning. We're told to believe and to receive, to make him not only Savior, but Lord of your life. And that's the step that we call sanctification, to learn to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you for the wisdom that's in your word, and that despite we have a requirement that's impossible to meet, that through you we can meet it. You can gift it to us. You can give us forgiveness and righteousness and holiness and change our heart and make us purposeful to obey you and live by you. What a wonderful blessing this is. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.